I believe we have scriptures, and I would ask that we would read them together. First of all, we'll do the Romans 7:14-20. Would you join with me? For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Matthew, and this is Jesus saying, please, again, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These are the words for our message this morning. I would share with you that when I was serving two congregations in Ontario some years ago, as I was traveling from one church to from home to one of the churches, I had a car accident. I turned out from a stop sign in the way of a tanker truck carrying gasoline. And the truck sent my car off the highway towards a house. Thankfully, my car stopped at the door of the garage of the house, and I did not go through it. It happened at a busy intersection, and so there were many cars or many witnesses to what had happened. And many of them stopped to see if they could give a hand. And many of them were willing to wait and talk to the police. And that was good because I was a little shaken up or in shock and wasn't too clear to talk to anyone. Accidents and emergencies tend to be occasions that aren't normal. In other words, they tend not to be all the time, which is good. If there's a medical emergency or if we have an accident, that puts a lot of stress on us, but it's usually limited in time. And sometimes there's help. When I had that car accident, there was all kinds of help there. I had another car accident at a different time and there was no one there. And it just depends whether you'll be able to get help or not. Recently on a Southwest Airlines, it was a flight between Atlanta and Houston, a retired Air Force colonel, first he felt clammy, then dizzy, and then he passed out. And of course his wife called for help. There was an announcement made, was there a doctor on board the plane? Any guesses if there was one? You don't care. Well, there were, how many were you going to say, sir? George.
One.
No, there were 20. And some of them were specialized in heart disease. It just so happened that it was a flight where the doctors on board were returning from a medical convention. So there were 20 doctors on board. You can imagine they didn't all help him at once, because that's like too many cooks in the kitchen. But there was help there for him. I have to ask you, who is there to help us when our souls are weary and anxious and we're burdened? It's really easy to admit and accept help if you're in a car accident and you're stranded. You're glad if anyone comes along. If it's a medical emergency, you're probably glad if you can get help. But it's not always easy to admit that you need help. Now, for the fellows, I understand there's a rumor that men don't like to ask for help, that they won't even ask help for reading a map and they can't do it. Now, I don't know if that's the absolute truth or not. There's another rumor, this is a rumor, that men are big babies, especially if they get the cold or the flu. Now, I see a lot of women going, so I don't want to get in on that. I have found that in my ministry through the years, it's the men who have been most secretive. And I mean in a very serious sense. It's the men who have hidden very serious medical conditions. They've gone to the doctor. They've come home and not shared that there's heart disease. They've come home and they've not shared that there's cancer. They have not shared with their family. Now, isn't that something we all do in a sense? Don't we sometimes hide the truth from others? We don't always want to accept help, and we don't always want to share the truth. People are the same way when it comes to sin. They don't always want to admit sin. They don't always want to admit that they need help because they suffer from a sinful condition. That wasn't the case of Paul. If you notice in our epistle lesson, he shared that his life was burdened. He was burdened because he had a desire to do what was right, but he didn't have the ability to carry it out. He understood the difference between spirit, the law, and his flesh. The law is the spirit, but we're flesh. We are born as human beings, those that have sin dwelling within us. You can call it inherited sin. It's that sin that keeps popping up that you can try to get rid of, and it seems to disappear, but it keeps coming back. The sin that dwells within us causes us to break the laws that we know the sin tells us not to do. And sin trips us up and keeps us stuck because we want to avoid sin, but it keeps coming back. Paul says that in his innermost being, he delights in the law, but he sees another reality in his flesh. He finds the sin within him, or his sinful nature, acting up, and it will not go away. There's always a war raging between obeying the law and obeying, not obeying the law, either to do it or not do it. It is like the conscience. Our conscience is meant to give us a guide. Should we or shouldn't we? But we often cannot, even with our best intentions, keep the law. And that's what Paul is talking about. And the law is the kind of thing that always has a way of coming back. So we find out that we didn't keep it fully or completely. Paul says that he wouldn't know what it was to covet if the law had said, don't covet. And I think we all agree with the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's good. It's right. We shouldn't envy what other people have. We shouldn't envy who they are. But it is more than that. It is also the fact that we are not always content with who we are. We're not always content with what God has given us. We are not always content in every circumstance of our life. How many of us have trouble with the law, you shouldn't bear false witness against your neighbor? Probably you will say, well, I'm not guilty of that one. Although I think, fellows on the way out, you can tell me if I'm wrong. It's been my experience that men gossip as much or more than women. And the women are saying, we don't gossip at all. It's just you men. And the truth is that we do pass along what we've been told. And the problem with that is the fact that we shouldn't do it if we weren't there firsthand. If we didn't see it, if we didn't hear it firsthand, we shouldn't pass it along, because what is at the center of the law is regard for the other person's reputation. When we pass along something, we could be damaging the other person's reputation. And it is often we don't care. We're not really concerned about the other person's reputation. We say, well, we're just passing on what we heard. But what we heard might not be the truth. And isn't it the truth that what we hear was passed on to them? And so we have no way of knowing what the truth is. The law is always, always coming back to haunt us. What about the one, I hope if I said to you, you do not want to commit robbery or you don't want to steal, you would say that's right. Is it? Okay. Some of you are, no response. And if you're going to do it, don't. But anyway, the thing of it is, we don't steal, but do we share? Are we willing to give what we have free hand, like a helping hand? What I have is yours because you need it. And will we look after the property and the possessions of others, or say, I don't care, it's not mine? How about murder? I know that some of you have said if a pastor goes on too long, he should be silenced, or he should not be invited back. The thing of it is, I hope none of you are carrying a gun or a knife. We haven't got to the stage where we ask you to check them at the door when you come in. But we don't, I think, have any intention of murdering with a weapon. But Jesus makes it clear that it's much deeper than that, and we're all guilty of it. We're guilty of anger. We're guilty of hatred. We're guilty of keeping resentments. Church folks are not without grudges and resentments. Paul says that he's a prisoner to the sin within him. He reminds us that Jesus alone allows sinners to be not condemned. There's no condemnation because we have faith in Jesus. And that's because Jesus offers to us a helping hand, a nail-scarred hand. He's willing to help us all the time, every time. And he's especially willing to help us when we admit we have trouble dealing with sin. or dealing with other people, dealing with sickness or disease. He is ready to help us because that's who he is. He's the helping hand of God. Jesus states the truth in our gospel. All things have been handed over to him by his Father. And he invites us to come to him because he has power. He has authority. He has wisdom. And most of all, he has the mercy, the love of God. And he is gentle and ready to help us find peace for our souls if we are willing to ask for it, if we are willing to keep coming back to that. I don't know. I heard this. Maybe you've heard it. Mass murderers, it's been said, have no conscience. I think everyone has a conscience, but I think we may not listen to it. God gave us the law so that it would stir our conscience, so that we would realize that in love for God, we will always struggle and we can always go to him to receive forgiveness and help. And if we're not careful, though, if we ignore the law, our conscience will then become like it doesn't matter. There's a case, and I know the sermon is kind of long, so I'm going to speed up. I'm going to talk faster, so you're going to have to listen. This is what happened, and this is an honest, true story. I didn't make it up. It apparently was in the newspaper. There's a man named Jerry Lynn, and he was drilling holes in the wall to put a cable through. And don't ask me why he did this, but he had this bright idea of dropping an alarm clock on a cord down the wall. He set it to go off in 10 minutes, and he was waiting. He would hear where that alarm clock was in the wall so he would know where to drill his hole. The problem was the alarm clock fell off what it was dangling down on. It fell down in the wall where they couldn't retrieve it, unless they took the wall apart. So they left it there. So every day at 6:50, the alarm clock goes off in the wall. It's been going off for 13 years. It did not take them 13 years to stop listening. After a couple of years, they never heard the alarm clock. Doesn't that make sense? They stopped hearing it. Guests come to their house and they say, "Hey, what's going on with that noise in your wall?" And they say, "Oh, it's an alarm clock. We don't even hear it." I think they're hoping for it to die. And I guess it's, I don't know, what's that battery that goes on and on and on. But it's still going. The thing of it is, God asks us to come to his law so that it will stir our conscience, so that we will come in repentance and he can help us to walk in new life. And he especially asks us to come to him when we don't really want to talk about it. Often our sins we don't want to talk about. Often our grief and our sorrow we keep to ourselves. And God wants us to know we can always come to him and he will receive us and help us and bless us. What happened to the alarm clock in the wall where people stopped listening, it seems to happen to Christians a great deal. They come to church year after year after year and they stop becoming sensitive to God. They say, "I've heard it all before. I know that." How many times do I have to hear that? Always. The power is in the Word of God. We keep coming back to it. And yes, in some way, God will keep stirring our hearts. He will keep leading us to himself because he is the only one who can shoulder our sin, our grief. He is the only one who can lead us. He uses the idea of a yoke. It was like a wooden thing which
help to carry weight, balance weight. You can have oxen yoked together to pull a load. For horses, we usually harness them together so they can pull a load. But when we had horses on the farm, there is always a lead horse, one that leads and the other follows. That's what Jesus wants us to come to him, because he's going to help us in our load. He's going to help us bear it, but he's going to lead us. He's going to lead us through life. He is going to help us if we come to him, if we admit, if we're willing.